It's the Rise and Shine Talk Show with Lady C, where we uplift, educate, and motivate. Let's talk about life and faith, ministry, and so much more. Conversations from a pastor's wife perspective. I am Lady C, your host. Family, be sure to like, follow, and share Rise and Shine with Lady C on Facebook and Instagram. Also, head over to CheriseCrump.com for all things Rise and Shine and all of the shows. Ladies, if you need to be recharged and reset in every area of your life, join me for a Divine Reset Retreat, October 17th through the 19th, 2024 in Newberry Township, Ohio, near Cleveland, Ohio. It's time for a Divine Reset with Lady C and Friends. Spaces limited. Register online today at www.ucfchurch.org. Family, today in the studio, we have a beautiful sister who I have known all my life. We grew up in the church together, singing in the choir, playing together, and we were even in Girl Scouts together. Yes, we were Girl Scouts. She has been on an amazing journey, and I am so honored to introduce and present my sweet sister, none other than Dorothy Beach. Welcome, Dorothy. Welcome. So I want to share a little bit about your bio to the family. Dorothy Yes. Beach, a wife and a mother of more than 30 years, is a newly published author currently residing in South Carolina. She was raised in Canton, Ohio, and has worked in corporate America most of her life and now assists her husband with their trucking business. She is passionate. Listen up. She is very passionate about seeing people healed from childhood pain and trauma. And first of all, Dorothy, I just want to say, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I see what God has and is doing in your life. Yes. How are you? How are you, my sister?
I'm so well. So thank you so much for this opportunity to just be here with you. You know, we've talked, you know, over the years and stuff. So you've seen me be at the lowest extreme, you know, to come to this level here now. So I'm honored to just have you see that journey and, you know, relish in this moment with me.
Absolutely. So congratulations are in order on your recent accomplishment of becoming a newly published co-author. How does it feel, Dorothy? How does that feel?
I didn't expect it to feel like anything, but it feels, it feels releasing. It feels
That's
releasing.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's good. You know, I had the pleasure of attending your virtual book launch party last night. And I'm going to tell you, it was absolutely inspiring. Oh, my goodness. It was just amazing. I felt the love on the line. I felt the sisterhood. It was truly such a sacred space of women connecting, you know, and going forth in their purpose and their assignment. So can you share with the audience? Talk with us. What is Abba's Daughter? Tell us all about it.
Yes, absolutely. So Abba's Daughters was a anthology book that was founded through two of our visionaries, Rashonda and Miss Deborah Queen Cole. They came together with another visionary that we have, one of our the ladies who guided us, Latoya Bilbo. Latoya has a series of books that she has written, probably 13 or more, 14 or more, and they have workbooks with them. And that's how we got connected. Latoya had a book called Who Told You You Were Naked? And when I saw that title, it resonated with me. Like, I had to read more. I had to understand, you know, what that was. And we went through the workshop and went through everything. And I was just like, wow, for years, I have believed the things that were told to me ever since I was a child about myself. That then led to Rashonda and Deborah reaching out to the ladies of the group and saying, hey, you know, we're going to be doing this project, an anthology of Abba's Daughters, and we're going to tell how God worked in our lives.
Yeah.
But we're going to line it up with someone in the Bible. Whosever story in the Bible lines up with your story, we're going to do it from that perspective. And that's basically how we got it started. And we've been working at it since late, I want to say late September, October of last year. So it was a process. And
that is awesome. That is awesome. And one of the things, Dorothy, what I love about this book is that it incorporates a biblical woman's story, followed by, you know, a personal testimony from a contributing author. And I just think that's so important that we're able to get that biblical part, you know, as well. So I want you to delve in and tell us about your chapter.
Absolutely. So my chapter is based on Tamar, the daughter of King David, 2 Samuel chapter 13 in its entirety. And I talk about my childhood trauma, which lines up exactly as Tamar's childhood trauma. From keeping things secret to, you know, trying to let it be known that something was happened and, you know, then being silenced. The difference in my story and Tamar's is that I refused to be silent.
That's good. That's good. You know, I got to go there. You know, in a black family. We're going to talk about secrets. We can keep some. Now, you know, sometimes we talk about all the things we don't need to talk about, instead of the things that we really need to talk about. And, you know, in keeping secrets, you know, can you talk about, you know, keeping secrets, you know, and just how detrimental, you know, keeping secrets from a child and well into adulthood. Talk to us about, you know, keeping secrets.
What a lot of family don't, I don't want to say understand because maybe they do, maybe they don't. But for me personally, when you are a child and these secrets are kept from you and, you know, for one, I was the child who was told to keep the secret. I was the child who was said, you know, if you can't prove this as a child, then don't speak of it again. That's detrimental to a child because now you're asking me to continue to interact and portray love and affection towards someone who has hurt me when inside there is a mini, you know, I don't know, Marshall Mathers or some crazy psycho person brewing on the inside, you know, and I had to sit with that from the age of 13 till about the age of 25-ish maybe, where I was just like, I'm not going to keep this secret anymore. I'm not going to play this facade of this happy-go-lucky daughter when I'm angry with people. When I'm, you know, I'm vengeful at this point. You know, it had sat and brewed for so long. I was not just angry. I was vengeful, you know, and it didn't matter if you were involved or not. The fact that you were lined up with my parents and things, I had an ought against you as well.
Wow.
Because I felt like you were a part of the problem. You know, so I was always known as, you know, little Dorothy, you know, who had a smart mouth, and little Dorothy, who was always, you know, aggressive or angry or fighting. But nobody ever stopped to take the time to understand why I was so angry.
And, you know, Dorothy, you know, I think all of us, you know, were taught, especially in the black community, we'll go on my house. I'm sure you can finish this. Woo! I think all of us.
You know, nothing that went on behind them four walls.
Yes, but then, you know, children, you know, are forced to carry a burden, you know what I'm saying? That they were not designed, you know, to carry, you know, and it really becomes a burden, and, you know, keeping secrets and it manifests. Can you kind of share how, you know, just carrying that burden, you know, and then, you know, not being believed, how did that manifest, you know, even in your adulthood?
It manifested itself in the form of literally undiagnosed depression and anxiety.
Okay.
I did not know what PTSD was until I was about 42.
Wow.
When I officially diagnosed with it. And unfortunately, it took my mother to die for me to get that help. Her and I had had a conversation long before she grew and long before she passed away. And she apologized for not believing me. But at that point, the bulk of the damage was already done. The healing needed to begin, absolutely. But the bulk of the damage was already done. And then as we were healing, she passed away. So when you say, what does that do to you? It tears you down. Yeah. It makes you feel like you're inadequate as a person.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how much my husband loved me. Doesn't matter how much my son loved me. Mm-hmm. I felt like their love for me was out of pity. My son is a child. He doesn't even know what happened to me. Yeah. Yet I would look at him and feel like he could see this dirt on me as a child. So it made me push him away as well. You know, being affectionate with him and allowing him to just lay upon his mother.
Yeah.
It would come in spurts, but after a while then I didn't want him to, you know, be close to me. I felt like there was a stench on me that he could smell or something. And it really messes with your mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was knocked in the door at 500 pounds because I was so encased in this protection, so to speak.
Okay.
And that's the only way I could put it. I was protecting myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I protected myself through words. I protected myself, you know, with food. And even in the privacy of my bedroom, I protected myself in my bedroom. I had stuff piled all around me to protect me from whatever I thought was going to try to get me, you know?
Yeah, that is so powerful, and especially when you talk about, you know, one of the coping mechanisms, you know, and we are all guilty of it, you know, eating, you know, and how you know how that was you were protecting yourself, you know, through the weight and all of that. And I sometimes people don't realize that, you know, people aren't just overweight just because, you know, they want to be. It's because a lot of times people are carrying things. They're carrying stress, worries, burdens, secrets, all kind of things that they're carrying.
Right. And people don't understand that. It's not that they're just sitting there gorging on food. On food. There's a, you know, Dr. Nazarian on that show, My 600 Pound Life, he talks about it. There's a chemical imbalance there.
Mm-hmm.
When you are stressed and worried about things, you don't sleep properly.
Wow.
You don't sleep properly, so the brain does not get to regenerate the chemicals that are needed to help you think clearly. Now you're not thinking clearly because you're not sleeping properly.
Yeah.
Then you get hungry, or you're just, you know, mindfully eating or grazing, as they call it. And that then makes you go into this calm, euphoric, relaxing mode where you can actually get the sleep you need. But then as soon as you wake up, the emotions are still there.
Yeah.
The trauma is still there.
Yeah.
The worry is still there. The thoughts are still there. So then you repeat that cycle again and again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes your pattern of life where someone looks at you and thinks, oh, how could you let yourself get that big? Or how could you let yourself get in this position? And they don't understand. It's not a let. It's out of control.
Yeah.
You know, I let myself go to work when I was working. I woke up and let myself go to work. But if I woke up and decided I'm not going to go to work today because I'm sad, and then the next day I decided to do that again, and it kept it going, it becomes a pattern to where it's out of control. You don't even have control over it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what depression does. It gets you to a place where your ability to reason with the voices that you hear in your head from the Lord, the voice you hear of God, the voice that you hear that says, I'm here for you, I am going to protect you, the voice that says, trust the words that you have hidden in my heart, be it one scripture, be it the whole Bible,
good.
It gets out of control where you don't even believe it anymore.
My Lord.
You know, and I tell people that the voice that was telling me to end my life was stronger and more convincing than the voice that said, trust me, I am your Lord and Savior.
My God, this is powerful. This is powerful. Dorothy, you know, there are many daughters, many, 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 many women who are listening right now mm-hmm. who have been isolated. They have been overlooked, unprotected, misunderstood. We have been blamed for the problems. You said that your mother didn't believe you.
Yeah.
What would you tell the mother who is listening right now to her daughter expressing that she is being abused? What would you tell that mother?
Believe her. Mm. Believe her. Yeah. There are children who will say something to the extreme mm-hmm. that a mother has to reason, like, you know, this is my husband you're talking about, or this yeah. is my friend or my boyfriend mm-hmm. you're talking about. Are you sure that happened? Mm-hmm. And then when you begin to ask that child for proof and they can't articulate the proof that you need to justify whether you want to believe your child or not, mm-hmm. you have to understand kids act out. Yes, they do. Yeah. They are ornery. Yes, they are.
Yes.
But when your child is completely out of character,
mm-hmm. that's good. That's good.
Trying to tell you something. They are trying to forewarn you about something, and they may not be able to articulate it well,
yeah.
but remember, there's an innocence there that we lost by the time we turned 21. There's an innocence that's on children that is pure enough to say, something's wrong, I just don't know
yes.
how to tell you. So I'm going to cut up, I'm going to pitch a
yep.
fit, I'm going to throw stuff, I
yep.
may even lie. I may even steal. I may do things that you as my mother don't agree with, but I'm trying to get your attention that this entity is in this atmosphere and I don't know how to get rid of it. And I call it an entity because that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's
good.
A demonic entity that has entered the dynamics of your household. And a child can't look at you and say, Daddy, Uncle, Johnny, whoever, mm-hmm. AP, whoever, because it's not always men.
That's
sometimes
right.
it's women.
That's right.
And sometimes it's a boy child. That child is trying to tell you, something has happened, and I need for you to hear me. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I've been hurt, and I need you to help me. And if you as a parent say, oh, that child just acting out. They just cutting up because mm-hmm. they just cutting up. You've done them a disservice already.
My God.
You've
My
done
God.
Them a, and ask God for discernment.
Yeah, that's good.
Children,
that's
if you're
yes.
not a habitual liar, ask God for discernment.
Yes.
Because I ain't saying every child that says, you know, like the story goes, every child that cries wolf, there
yeah.
ain't no wolf.
Right.
So ask God for discernment.
That's good.
At the end of the day.
That's good. And we do, and we have to pay attention. We got to pay attention. We got to
yeah.
pay attention. My goodness. So, Dorothy, tell us, what has your healing journey, what has that looked like for you?
My healing journey has been amazing. Mm-hmm. Self-discovery is amazing.
Yes.
When my mother passed away, I did not know who Dorothea J. Beach was. All I knew is that I was Mara's daughter, Ida's sister, Tanya's sister.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew that I was just this girl. You know, I'm Sharice's, her and my mom were best friends. I'm Sharice's
yeah.
friend because her and my mom were,
yeah.
Her mom and my mom were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who I was as a person.
Yeah.
You know, even to say I was David's wife and Alan's mom, I didn't know who I was as a person. So this journey has led to self-discovery. I am very passionate about giving people a voice. I'm very passionate about protecting those who have
yeah.
been wronged.
Yes.
In a way that they can come to me and say, hey, this has happened. And they know that I'm going to do my best to get them the help that they need or bring about attention to it so
mm-hmm.
they can get help that they need. I'm not a Bible quoter. I'll be the first to tell you that. So if you're looking for a scripture to stand on, Isaiah 41:10 was my scripture.
That's good.
I give it to the next lady. But, you know, you got to find something that resonates with your
yes.
soul. You got to find something. And there were days I was angry
mm.
and I was crying and
yeah.
I was upset. And I would just be like, fear not. God
yeah.
is with me.
Yes.
You know, and that's all I could get out. That's all I could get out those days. Because it was just such a torment that I was going on. But it led me to see my love of poetry. I have a lot of poetry. I love writing short stories, the ones that kind of make you think about your morals and, you know, the way that you treat people. I love creating jewelry. I do make
yes.
jewelry. And, you know, just, I just love being creative. I love the creative side of me that was always there, but, you know, stifled through, again, you know, childhood trauma. I was born left-handed. And people always say that left-handed people are naturally creative. In the Black community, there's a lot of superstitions that our parents believe in. And one of my parents' superstitions, I call them, that they believed in was that left-handed people are troublemakers. So I was forced to write with my right hand. I was forced to use my right hand. But the creative gene that comes with being a left-handed person was still there. It was just never understood how to hone in on that creativity. So I do a lot with that now.
That is awesome. For those of you who are listening and you feel that your childhood abuse is still affecting you, I want to encourage you to get help. It's okay. Prayer helps. Prayer changes things. But you know what, family? Sometimes you need to get professional clinical counseling, and it's okay. We want to encourage you. Get your therapy. It's all right. You can get it. Talk some more about that, Dorothy.
Listen, I tell everybody, the therapist's office is your personal hospital room. I'm a woman of God. I love the Lord. I love everything He has done for me. But it's something about being in that space that I can go in there and I'm going to say it, cuss out whoever I needed to cuss out in that private space and know that it went no further. That somebody was like, oh, no, she ain't up there singing praise and worship, and she just cussed Sister So-and-so out the other day. I didn't have that in there. I was able to go, and in the moments where I tried to take my life, I went to intensive outpatient therapy. Intensive outpatient therapy is a group setting. You go in there every day, and you learn how to, you know, navigate life and deal with these things that are affecting you. And you get tools, you get things that you can incorporate with your Bible reading. You can incorporate those things with your prayer time. You can incorporate those things. And I know somebody out there is going, well, God don't need no help. He sure doesn't. He sure does not need any help. But I did.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because I couldn't receive someone saying, well, girl, just pray about it. You'll be all right. Well, girl, just read the Bible. You'll be all right. If you can't understand if the voice you're hearing is the Lord's or not, then how are you going to just pray about it? Because I didn't know if I was praying to the devil or praying to God.
and that's just real talk.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, please help me. But what Lord was I really praying to? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I took Wellbutrin. It's called a mild psychiatric medicine or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I took a Wellbutrin. I took it for 2 years straight to help with the depression. It's supposed to boost your emotions or whatever. And when it was done, my doctor knew I don't want to be medicated. Yeah. Not that I have a thing against it, but I didn't want that to be my life. I wanted to get back to a place where I can hear from the Lord and deal with my emotions through spiritual prayer, fasting, and the stuff I knew to do, but just couldn't tap into it in that moment.
I was
looking for that. So that's why I encourage therapy. That's why I encourage counseling. They are different. Therapy and counseling are two different things. One deals with the brain chemistry of it all and getting that back on track, making sure you sleep well, making sure you eat well, things of that nature. And I didn't know something as simple as taking a 15-minute walk before bed helps you sleep better.
Wow.
Just like you have And I'm not referring to us as dogs, so whoever's thinking that, I'm sorry. But just like you have to take your dog out for a walk at night because it's so full of energy from being pent up in the house all day while you're working, think of your brain in that same manner. You got all that stuff packed up in your brain all day that's been running all day long. Yeah. You've got to tire it out. And we do that through exercise. So go outside before you go to bed, you and the kids, and just go for a quick walk. Let them run up and down the street. It is to just get you at a good heart rate for about a good 5-10 minutes or so, and then go in the house, get yourself settled, ready for bed. I promise you, you're going to see yourself taking a better night's rest, which is going to give you better clarity in the morning. Doesn't happen overnight. It happens with practice and with consistency.
Amen. That's some good. That's some good, much needed, you know, getting the proper rest. You know, yeah. It is imperative. It's a part of the healing process. Dorothy, I want to ask you, you know, when we as women have faced any form of abuse, it can overtake us, overwhelm us, and the abuse can become our story, our only narrative. And I love that you are intentional on not focusing on the trauma, but on your healing. Yeah. And I love the quote that you said in the book, life is more than what you have been through.
Yeah. That's what we get stuck on telling our story. You know, when somebody fires you from a job, every job you go to from there on, you're stuck on telling people how that previous employer wronged you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people around you are looking at you like, well, are you going to do the same thing here? You know, they start looking at you like you've been at job after job after job and they all fire you for the same reason. Maybe it's you. You know, it's the same thing with life. Yeah. You know, you could choose this guy as your guy. And he ends up not working out so well. And you have a reason why he didn't work out so well. And then you choose this guy as your guy, and he ends up not working out so well, but the reason is pretty similar. And then you choose this guy for not working out so well. And again, we've hit the same issue. At some point, you got to look at that like it's yourself. That's you know, well, I was in that position where it didn't matter who you were. I was angry with you. You didn't know what was going on, but I felt like you were looking at me like you knew what went on.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't even walk. I'm 45 at the time. I can't even walk in a grocery store because I feel like every person in the grocery store is going to look at me and be like, she was molested as a child. You see her right there? Mm. She has body characteristics that say she was molested as a child. You know, when you're more bustier, when you're, you know, built a certain frame.
More developed.
Yeah, they look at you. And unfortunately, back then, that was a telltale sign that the child was either, you know, molested or promiscuous. You either had one bad mark or you had another bad mark. Mm-hmm. But it was never just genetics. Her family is just busty and she's just busty. It was never that. It was either she's busty because she's fast and promiscuous or she's busty because somebody's bothering her. You know?
Oh, my goodness. Dorothy, we're going to be wrapping up here. Such a powerful story. Can you tell the family quickly, how can we order your book?
Absolutely. So I do have a website set up at payhip.com/DJ Beach. You can reach my book there as well as tap into any of my other social media outlets. I do a lot of my comedy on TikTok and promote stuff there as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Family, you got to get Abba's Daughters, Everyday Women, Extraordinary God. Dive into the testimonies of incredible women who face personal struggles just like you, celebrating the power of sisterhood and the love of an extraordinary God. I encourage you to get your copy on today. Thank you for joining me today on the Rise and Shine Talk Show with Lady C. Family, let's rise and shine. God bless.